Hi, my name is Peter Tong. Welcome to LEGO Serious Play Face to Face. LSP Face to Face is a podcast produced by LSP Facilitators for LSP Facilitators. You will meet various LSP facilitators in the community, learn about who they are, and about their practice. It's an opportunity to learn from them and from the community at large. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of LEGO Serious Play Face to Face. I'm here with Sybil Sturczyk, and she's in Pennsylvania. Hi, Sybil.
Hi, Peter.
How are you?
Oh, great today.
Good. And you're safely at home.
Safely at home and happy to be talking with you.
I'm very happy to be talking with you. Now, in our conversation we've had over the last little while, I understand you started your career as a marketer.
Yes. And I consider myself a career marketer. I kind of fell into marketing and I love it. But what's interesting is I'm not your traditional marketer. I have always approached it from a workplace engagement point of view, whereas I've always worked in the services marketing field, meaning financial services, healthcare, higher education, nonprofits, anything as a service rather than an actually produced product. And in a service organization, the employees are the brand. Mm-hmm. So I've always approached it from helping companies strengthen their brands from the inside out by engaging their employees. And one of the things I've often said is that the way your employees feel is the way your customers will feel. And if your employees don't feel valued, neither will your customers. So I've been doing this for more than 30 years. And what's interesting is I went from doing these workshops and doing national seminars and training and everything else on what I call internal marketing. Again, taking care of the employees, take care of the customers. And doing workshops, and then I found I was actually doing a bit of facilitation as part of the training, and then people were bringing me in to say, well, help us with the planning, help us do this, help us do that. So I evolved into a facilitator, although I still consider myself a marketer, but I'm also a facilitator. And I just love facilitation, and that's basically what led me to LEGO Serious Play.
How did you actually get trained, and what was that sort of transition period like?
Well, what's interesting, Peter, is a number of years ago, I joined the International Association of Facilitators, and I can't remember one of the conferences that I attended back in 2005 or 2006, there was a LEGO Serious Play demo. And I took it and I was thought, wow, this is cool. I thought of it as a novelty at the time. I looked into it. It was very expensive at the time and it just wasn't within my bailiwick. But I kept thinking about it and I rediscovered it a couple years ago. And when I wanted to broaden my skills as a facilitator, and I kept up with Robert Rasmussen and I said, you know, what's happening with this? Then I found out that he had taken it back or taken it over again. And he put me in touch with Kristen.
Okay.
And I did my training in February of 2019 in Las Vegas.
Oh, nice. And cool place to train.
Well, it also worked out. I was hoping to do the training in Toronto originally because I have family there. And it was an excuse to say, oh, I can do the training and I can visit my sister. But it turns out that Kristen was only, her schedule said, well, we only have it in, when I was ready to do it. She said, well, we're only in Montreal. It's like, that's not going to work for me. I only want to go to Toronto. However, she said, we're doing it in Vegas. I happen to have a brother who lives in Vegas.
There you go.
So it was perfect. But I got to tell you, it was a relatively small class. There were only five of us. And in a show of incredible bonding, the very first day, after we completed our first day, it also happened to be the premiere of the second Lego movie. And five of us went to the movie that evening. I mean, that bonded us as a training
Absolutely.
class. And the thing is, I hadn't seen the first Lego movie, and now I'm absolutely in love with it, and I can watch it over and over and over again. And it's just so rich and resonates so much in terms of LSP. It's great.
That's neat. That's a really interesting way to bring the group together.
Certainly was.
Tell me a little bit more about that 5-day experience of going through the training. I know most people that listen to this podcast will have done it, but everybody's experience is a bit different.
The first day I was on such a high because it's like, this is amazing. This is incredible. Now, granted, I did have some issues early on because I had not played with Legos. My son is in his mid to late 30s. I hadn't done Legos in like tw over 20 years. And I'm sitting with these other participants in my class who were picking up pieces and knew how to put them together. And I really felt out of my element. But Kristen did a fabulous job and it helped me too, because I've ended up doing some sessions with participants who've never had experience with Legos. And they're hyper about it. It's like, no, trust me. I felt that way when I went through the training. It's not an issue. You don't have to have any expertise in using the bricks. So after a while, I didn't feel as well, I still felt a little inadequate, but it didn't last long. And the first day and a half, I was on cloud nine. By the end of the second day or into the third day, I was totally overwhelmed and wiped out. I mean, I came back and I said to people, it was amazing, it was exhilarating, it was exhausting because it was so intense. But in a good way. And then I got all nervous about, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this? And I remember Kristen saying, just do it, do something. So I first practiced with my son and his girlfriend. And then I started to put together some sample workshops. Kristen had talked about doing that at the library, which is where she has done it. And I did some sample workshops, and that really helped my confidence. But it was not only my confidence, it was the power of seeing it work and how people, it just blew me away because as much as I love facilitating and how powerful it is, nothing is as powerful in my experience as LSP.
No, I agree. It's interesting because as a company this morning, we were recording a vlog, and that's what we were talking about, is that sort of magic of getting the hands on the bricks, right?
The hands on the bricks and trusting your fingers and being able to express yourself tangibly. And one of the things I tell prospects and I tell people is that it can lead to some really rich discussions. And my focus with LSP has been on team development and engagement. I'm not doing so much of the real-time strategy, but I'm focusing more on the team thing and the insights and the sharing and the shared learning and understanding is beyond anything I could have imagined. And that's what I love about it.
Now, you originally went through this effort of being trained and whatever because you saw the opportunity for Lego Serious Play to add your skills into your business. How has it done that?
Again, because it's so powerful and I'm so excited about doing it. It's so different than the traditional, and I still do some traditional facilitation, with the flip charts and everything else. Actually, I use those in LSP sometimes. But rather than sitting there and having to come up with all these creative ways to engage people, you know, through discussions. Now, obviously, as a facilitator, we know one of the most important tools is the questions. Mm-hmm. You know, and I've been collecting questions for more than 30 years, but it's just that the built-in process of Lego Sears Play when doing the models, it's instant engagement. And the fact that everyone, I don't have to worry about somebody not participating, as you would in a more traditional facilitation workshop. Everybody, again, it's the lean in. Everybody's leaning in. Everybody is doing something. And there's no judgment. And everybody owns their results. And, you know, there's a lot of similarity in the results. But there can be lots of differences in the results. And again, no judgment.
So, Sybil, can you tell me about any sort of neat things that have happened in your workshops, some particular memories of models and things like that?
What has blown me away in the sample workshops I've done and in the client workshops is what people come up with. And initially, I started, you know, some of the models were so incredibly powerful. I'm taking pictures of them and, you know, obviously I encourage the participants to, but I'm using them to explain them to other people. And now I'm at the point where, I mean, I've been exposed to so many models, I can't exactly remember what they were, but there have been one or two, again, from the very beginning that stick in my mind. And let me give you an example.
Please.
One of the sample workshops I did, we talked about nightmare communications, right? So it was, what's your nightmare meeting?
Right.
And a woman had built, you know, she had a couple of bricks on one side, and then she had a Lego figure leaning backwards, okay? And, you know, she had the little yellow flower or whatever on her head. I don't remember, it was a yellow flower or something else on her head, leaning back. And then across from her, and she was attached to it, but were these other bricks. And I said, well, tell me what this means. She said, this to me is a nightmare meeting. All the loose bricks and some of the attached bricks represent the ideas that people throw out at meetings. And every time they get thrown out, the boss or someone would say, we've done it before, it's not going to work. Every idea gets trashed. That's why she puts the figure leaning back. Right. And as she said, you know, she said, this is my nightmare meeting is where ideas go to die. and it was just so amazing. Someone else had done a jumble of bricks with a black plate on top or a couple of black bricks on top. And it wasn't balanced. The brick model was, bricks weren't balanced at all. And he said, this is it. This is a meeting of chaos. And there's no balance. There's no rhyme or reason. And again, the people in this workshop came from very different industries, different companies. And there was a consistent theme in all of their models. One other last model from here I want to share with you.
Please.
Is a woman put together a box, and then she closed off the box, and she had a head in front of it, you know, the little figure in front of it. And when you removed one of the bricks to look into the box, there was a disembodied head.
Okay.
And she said, That represented her idea of a nightmare meeting, because nothing's attached. You're put in a box and nobody pays attention and you get lost. Again, just incredibly powerful.
Yeah, and powerful enough that you've done a lot of facilitations, but you're carrying those with you, right?
Yes, so. Yes. I carry them with me. And I use them in my business. I've used them in my Lego Series Play business card and in my promotional overview pieces, just to explain. Now here's another one.
Okay.
One last one is I was doing this with a consultant colleague, showing her how it worked. And there was a model of, it was a model of a figure facing one direction with the sticks or whatever you call them in their hands, one was going left, one was going right. I mean, they didn't match up. And behind them was this jumble of bricks. And this was describe a nightmare prospect, okay. prospective client. Mm-hmm. They said, well, this is the client, is the figure in front. And you notice that the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing. Their hands are opposite. Behind them is what the client wants you to do. There's no sense of, it's not tangible, and there's no green brick used because a client has no money.
Yeah, that sounds like a nightmare prospect. Yeah, wow. That's that was. It's so interesting the things that come out of what seem like relatively simple models. Or the people that I work with most often tease me because I build very simple models, and I'm a 6-piece model kind of guy. And they laugh if I can put a 7th piece in my model. They're all celebrating me. But the method doesn't require it to be complicated. The method requires it to be thoughtful, right?
Right, right.
And
I've noticed that with some participants, some will use a lot of embellishment with the flowers and the red bricks and others, again, just the bricks and almost somewhat just very linear, but again, rich in meaning.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of... Now, in North America, certainly in Canada and the United States, we've been impacted pretty severely by the pandemic. And how do you see LSP playing a role as we transition through this?
Oh, it could be such a powerful tool, but my frustration is, will people be comfortable doing something hands-on, and also do companies have the capacity to pay for it because mm-hmm. some of them are in dire straits. But as I mentioned to you earlier, I woke this morning at 4:00, and between 4 and 6 this morning, my brain was just whirling with activities. And I thought, you know what? Thanksgiving's coming up. Christmas is coming up. This is the time of year when you start seeing, you get a lot of emails and stuff from restaurants and, book your Christmas banquet or your holiday banquet, and sales promotion companies start saying, get your these special mugs or send candy to your employees. And I'm thinking, well, you know what? This would be LSP would be an incredible way that leaders could recognize their employees and do something special and different and fun. Because Lord knows we need a lot more fun these days.
Yes.
So what I'm going to work on in the next couple of weeks is coming up with a workshop and reaching out to people to say, your employees working at home have gone out of their way. How will you acknowledge this? What can you do whether you do a year-end retreat or a luncheon? And again, I don't care if they are back in an office environment, we can meet in a conference room and space them apart, even if they have masks on. There's something we can do that'll make them feel special, make them feel acknowledged. And again, it's fun and it's different. And we can use part of the modeling to help process what you've been through. I mean, it would be great to say, either, I'm not sure where to go with this, either build a model of 2020 or build a model of 2021 so they have something positive to look forward to. Yeah. That kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that sort of plays two roles. As you say, it's sort of some rebuilding and some acknowledgement, but also some processing of all of the emotional things that people have been going through. And described to me the other day as COVID grief.
COVID grief, yep. It's interesting. I was listening to was listening to our local health network. And one of the clinicians was talking about the pandemic, and he said, we don't just have one pandemic, we're experiencing four. We have obviously COVID pandemic, but we're also dealing with a pandemic of fear, one of misinformation, and one of fatigue and complacency.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, from a psychological viewpoint, it was pretty powerful to me that, we need to address this. And as I was mentioning to you earlier, in the last couple of weeks, all of a sudden I'm starting to see a lot more articles out there in adding play to your grown-up life and why it's more important than ever as stress release and almost as a calming mechanism as well.
Do you think there's a role for play and re-engagement as well?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it all ties in together. We need to re-engage. We just need to step out of this craziness and re-engage not only our inner child, but who we are as people and the fact that we're resilient and we can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And resilience is a key part of that as well.
Yeah, I think those are very good points, because there's as you say, there's multiple layers of things that folks are dealing with, and it'd be nice for our industry to play a role in making it better.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting, Peter. You were asking me about you know, what I learned going back to the training I went through.
Yeah.
As an experienced facilitator coming into LSP, one of the most challenging things for me, and one of the most, I'd say in a way it was difficult at first, was when you review people's models, was the idea of limited contact, eye contact. And I know Kristen called me out on this, and it's like, I hadn't realized, we were practicing in our training group, and you know, I said, what does the model look like? And I'm looking at the person, and she said, you have to focus on the model for the psychological safety of all the participants. And that, even when I started to do my sample workshops, that was one of the most challenging things I had to relearn or teach myself, was focus on the model. I'm a lot more comfortable with it now, because I've had the experience and the practice. But it was really hard for me at first to limit my eye contact with the participant to focus on the model.
And it is such an important part of the safety environment, right?
Right.
And that may even become more important as we move forward, because so many people are feeling unsafe. You mentioned that, right? That's one of the levels of crisis that we're dealing with, is there's a lot of fear. It really does. So, Sybil, I have to ask you my famous question. What's your favorite Lego brick and why?
Okay. I've been thinking about this ever since I started listening to your podcasts. And I have a long answer, because it's a two-parter.
Sure.
The first one is my personal favorite, which is, as my son pointed out, is not just one brick, but it's the generic minifigure.
Okay.
Because I love how that personalizes a model, and the fact that you can do things with it. You can make somebody laid back. You can move them forward. You can put on a blank head. You can put the eye on, you know, just, you know, in using the Window Explorers kit, there's so much you can do with just the plain minifigure. But the other one, and this goes back again to one of my participants, the other one is a 1x2 dark gray brick.
Okay.
Let me explain why I choose that. I was working with some nonprofits, and this one participant was a nonprofit leader, and he was one of those who did not use embellishments with his models. You know, they were kind of like yours, although he might have used 8 or 10 pieces, but they were pretty simple. And a lot of them were what I would consider directional. you know, showing forward movement or progress in building upon principles. And in one of the models, he was talking about their foundation and their mission and foundation and their values. And I asked him in particular, well, what does this little 1x2 gray brick signify? And he said, that's empathy. Because so much of our work is based on empathy. And again, it blew me away. He was imbuing this little brick with the value of empathy, and it made sense and it worked. And again, the power of the model and the metaphor. I loved it.
Absolutely. That's a great story. I won't look at that brick the same way again.
I think about it every time I see a 1x2 dark gray brick.
And I can understand why. That's really, and that again, it reinforces the flexibility of the method, right?
Right.
That's because a 1x2 dark gray brick can be empathy. Exactly. So this is fantastic. Thank you so much for this. Thank you for joining us for another episode of LEGO Serious Play Face to Face. The podcast can be found on the lspdirectory.com website. We would appreciate your comments and your feedback and episode ideas. You can reach me at peter@brickstorming.ca. Stay safe, wash your hands. Look forward to meeting with you next time.